Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are joined by Jason Lang. So welcome to the show, Jason.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Lovely. So Jason, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that, dear listeners, today we'll be talking about brotherhood. Yes, the men's mental health and the emotional health as well. So, Jason is passionate about guiding men towards clarity in purpose and the relationships. So, with extensive training and a deep personal journey, he emphasizes the importance of men's groups in fostering the growth and the support. So, why to wait? Let's join us as we explore the transformative power of men's work. So, welcome to the show again, Jason.
Yeah, I'm so stoked to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm very passionate about this subject.
Great. Really lovely. So, Jason, to start with, what inspired you to become a men's embodiment coach and facilitator, like focusing on the men's mental and emotional health?
Yeah, well, it really kind of was born out of my own personal journey. So I was raised here in the States in a pretty kind of lower middle class, but I'm white, I'm a man, you know, have pretty much had a lot of privilege in my life. And as I became a teenager, what I discovered was the one thing I didn't have was a lot of connection in my family. So my family wasn't particularly connected growing up, meaning we didn't really know how to talk about emotions, how to speak about emotions, how to directly connect to each other. And as I, you know, came of age and started becoming interested in dating, this stuff became really apparent to me. And it was, I found a lot of times that I was actually quite anxious and uncomfortable in my body and unsure how to connect with women in particular. And it was so painful for me. It kind of started my journey of like, hey, why is this thing that looks so easy for other people so hard for me? And I had to fight a lot of loneliness and all kinds of self-esteem issues, and kind of went on my journey from there of inner growth and transformation. And it was during that I got lucky. And I came across a couple of men who ended up being my mentors and introduced me to men's groups and the power of male community. And I fell in love with it because I started doing men's work and men's group work to change my own life. And, you know, about 15 years later, after doing that, I was just telling everyone I know about it. And some guys started asking me like, well, can I join your group? And I was like, well, our group's full, but hey, maybe I should start leading some. And that had me kind of shift gears to, okay, I want to start to give back in a way, because of all the great things I received from other men and from this work and from male community, I wanted to be able to offer that to others.
Exactly. So, if you can also share a bit about your personal journey, how it led you to the work you are doing today.
Yeah. So in particular, you know, a big part of my journey was because there wasn't much emotional connection for me growing up, I didn't know how to even identify what I was feeling, let alone know what to do with my emotions or feelings. And so for me in particular, and this goes for a lot of men in different ways, when we haven't been given the tools or how to process and be with our emotions, we'll try to do other things to deal with them. Things such as drinking, smoking, sex, porn, masturbation, you know, video games, you name it. There's lots of different ways men will try to numb out from their uncomfortable feelings. And for me, that really was epitomized in an addiction to masturbation and porn throughout my teenage years and 20s and even a bit into my 30s as a way to help myself self-regulate when I had intense feelings that I didn't know. Well, at first I didn't even know how to identify them, and then later I didn't know what to do with them. So it was in wanting to learn, wow, all this uncomfortableness in my body, anxiety, self, blame, fear, anger sometimes, you know, these things later I had the words for that I was often feeling, and just deep, deep loneliness, you know, when I wasn't able to date successfully in particular. All of those emotions were kind of stuck inside me, and it had me kind of frozen in my life in some pretty big ways, not able to take action to move towards the things I wanted to feel alive and vital and inspired. So, you know, for me, it started with some therapy. Then I met these men's group facilitators, got into men's groups, and they really helped me slow down and start to identify what was happening in my inner world. And it was through these experiences, I also got to see for me modeled what healthy masculinity that's in touch with its emotions, but isn't overrun by them, looks like. So a powerful man that can cry, a powerful man that can be angry, but not dangerous, powerful man that can even be afraid, right? I got to see it firsthand of, wow, this guy can feel all that. And I really trust him. I get a sense he's strong. And that helped to open things up for me in terms of being able to move there in my life.
Lovely. So, I mean, in your experience, what are some of the common challenges that men face regarding their mental and the emotional well-being?
Yeah, well, I'd say one of the biggest ones these days is just isolation and loneliness, right? There is a pretty big epidemic of loneliness for men. You know, in the last years, it's reported, you know, that many men don't even have what they would consider a close friend, particularly past the age of 30. A lot of, you know, it's obviously different around the world, but a lot of the structures that used to bring men together in terms of social clubs and even certain religions and sports, like it's all changing. And, you know, we're moving into this more digital world, which means we can often live far more private lives where, you know, here in the States, like I could not leave my house for weeks if I wanted. I could have food brought to me, you know, like you don't actually have to interact with anyone. And I think this is particularly hitting men really hard because men, you know, again, it's a little different in different places, but a lot of men just aren't as relationally inclined, like as set up to be in relationship from the get-go with other men or women. So a lot of men are feeling quite isolated. Suicide rates are really high for men around the world. Depression is really high for men around the world. You know, there's more and more men that are on antidepressants and medications. There's more and more men that are on medications for erectile dysfunction. And what they found in the research is, you know, men who report as feeling lonely in their lives, so not having enough connection, it's just as dangerous on their health as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day or being morbidly obese. So these things have a real impact on us men, this loneliness epidemic. And a lot of men just, you know, they get out of that kind of youthful high school, college, young working age, and it becomes much harder to make new male friends. You know, particularly then if you get into a relationship or have a family or have a really busy job, one of the first things men let go of are their fulfilling relationships, particularly with other men, I sometimes find. And then on top of that, you know, one last piece here is as men, we're also not really taught how to connect with each other. There's all this pressure you know, here in the States, we call it like locker room culture, bro culture of, you know, men being tough on each other, making fun of each other, mocking each other if you're weak or vulnerable or show any kind of emotions. And it creates this culture for guys that we always have to feel like we always have to be tough and we can never show vulnerability because we might get attacked or mocked for it. And so even when we are connecting with other guys, we're often connecting in this very surface level because we're trying to keep it all together. And many, many men connect via what I call triangulation, which is just the way you and I connect is by having our attention on some third thing, a sporting game, an activity, drinking, like you name it. But our attention is generally focused on something, not focused so much on each other. And that leads to often, even if we do have male friends, we can still feel lonely because we're not actually revealing what's going on in our life. And we don't feel like anyone knows the pain or suffering we're in. So there's a lot, you know, that's kind of come to a head at this moment in culture for men and why men are so deeply struggling. But that's one of the primary places I see. And, you know, kind of the COVID pandemic didn't really help in terms of isolating people even more. So there were men I, you know, was working with during that time that if they weren't on a Zoom call with me or my community, you know, they weren't talking to anyone, like they didn't have anyone. And that is super damaging to a man's well-being.
Exactly. It's very, very true. I mean, what to say, like, it's quite true that after pandemic, everything has changed. Exactly. So, also, one more thing is coming to my mind, like, what according to you, do the men's groups contribute to addressing these challenges and also a kind of fostering balance and the support?
Yeah, absolutely. So men's groups, you know, part of my mission, my purpose right now is I believe every man should be in a men's group. And I think the world would be a much, much better place. And specifically what men's groups do are they plug some of the gaps, so to speak. And I think what's happening here for a lot of men in that they create a place of connection for guys to get real and to get deep about what's going on in their lives and what's most important to them. So a men's group, for one, it's where we can form and bond really deep relationships with other men that are based on authenticity and not based on, you know, bravado or putting up some strong front. And they help us get connected by making this pivotal switch to this realization that other men can actually be our allies and not just our competition, which is how so many of us guys were raised, right? Yeah. And so the work I do with guys in men's groups, it's about helping men get connected to each other. This can be virtually, this can be in person. It really doesn't matter. It's part of the magic, you know, these days of Zoom. And it gives men somewhere to go to actually bring their inner world, so their emotional selves, to share about what's going on in life. Where are you crushing it? Where are things working? Where are you doing awesome? For one, you just get to celebrate, you know, when you have worked hard or you have had a win. A lot of men never do that. They never even take the time to celebrate their successes. You can also bring your struggles, right? So when you're in pain or something isn't going the way you want, one of the antidotes to that pain is bringing it out into connection, right? It's, oh my God, I am hurting so bad here. And left to their own devices, most men will habitually default to suffering alone. So if they're struggling, they pull it inside and withdraw from people, which makes it even harder. We as humans are socially wired creatures. And part of how we regulate ourselves, so how our nervous systems get the sense it's okay, so we can relax out of fight or flight or come up out of freeze, is through connection with others, right? With being real, being in the moment, being authentic. And so when we can bring our emotional content to other men and they can hold it with us, it helps transform that emotional energy and helps us work with it in a way that's totally different to when we just numb out through booze, weed, jerking off, whatever it might be, the often normal tactics for men. So it's, you know, a lot of men feel like they move through the world carrying this deep burden of, I got to keep it all together. You know, I got to take care of my parents, or I got to take care of my family, or I got to take care of my siblings, or I got to take care of my company. And it's pretty rare for men to have a space to go to where they can feel held. And I don't care if you're the most powerful man in the world, at some point you need to be held. We can't all be just outward facing, have our shit together all the time. And anyone, you know, that pretends to, I don't buy it for a second. So men's groups allow us to be held, to be in our emotional experience, for our bodies to release and process, so we don't hold all these tensions inside of us. And then also, like you said, it's also a place where, you know, the masculine part of all of us as humans, whether we're, you know, born a man or a woman, the masculine part of us grows through feedback and challenge. Oh my God, there's this thing. I don't know if I can do it. Can I do it? I'm going to try. Right. And that's how we grow. We like push ourselves. And men's groups can be a place where loving men who trust and respect you can encourage you to move forward on those vulnerable things in your life you want to move forward on and hold you accountable to that. And, you know, I think most men who have ever, you know, exercised or played a sport or worked out know the experience of, if I'm just working out alone, you know, I'll work out hard. But if I'm working out with somebody, I work out a lot harder, right? Because then there's this like little competition and, oh, hey, you're really going for it. So I'm going to really go for it. And men's groups can really create that energy of, wow, my brother here just, he crushed it. He took a huge risk at work, or he had an incredibly challenging conversation he's needed to have with his intimate partner for months. And it completely changed their relationship. That's inspiring to me. What can, now I want to do something hard in my life to make a change. And all of that can happen in men's groups. I see it improve men's intimate relationships. They do better at work. Their vitality, energy, and health goes up, and they just feel more connected.
So now when we are talking about this, how do you navigate the discussions around traditional masculinity and its impact on the men's mental health within your work?
Yeah, the big thing I talk about is another one of the big challenges here for men is there's so much talk in our culture right now about what masculinity shouldn't be and what's bad about it, right? Toxic masculinity. And there's some real truth to that because there are quite literally thousands of years behind us that show some evidence of what can happen when, I don't call it toxic masculine, I call it pathological masculine, which just means masculinity disconnected from its heart. What can happen when that runs amok, right? We can destroy the planet. We can kill people, rape, murder. Like, that stuff's real. But that only happens when the masculine's completely disconnected from their heart and their capacity to feel impact on others. So the work I do with men is we want to paint a vision of what's possible now, right? What does an integrated conscious man look like in modern times? And that's a man that we don't have a tremendous amount of modeling for in our cultures, right? Sure. This is a man, like I said, who is deeply grounded in his body, very much in touch with his power, his capacity to move towards what he wants, his capacity to set boundaries, his capacity to protect those he loves. But that man is also just as deeply connected to his heart and is very open and sensitive and attuned to the people around him. And then he also has a deep awareness, right? That, wow, I am part of a larger system, whether it's my family, culture, even the planet. And my awareness allows me to orient towards what's most important in any given moment, right? What's the deepest, most important thing for me to be paying attention to? And this kind of trifecta that I teach with men, when we have all of that online, it's a very different experience of the masculine. It's not a reactive man. It's a conscious man that can respond, who is quite powerful, who isn't ashamed of his sexuality, but isn't dangerous either, right? Who can take responsibility for his emotions, his feelings, and his sexual urges, and is able to be a generative and creative force in the world that realizes that, you know, power isn't power over people, but it's the ability to empower others, right? So to actually give power to others, to me, that's the mark of a truly successful man these days, is how many people around me can I empower and uplift?
Exactly. So very, very important and very true as well. So I mean, what according to you are these strategies or the practices that you would recommend for men who may be struggling with the mental or the emotional health issues, but are hesitant to seek the support?
Yeah. Not to be too red alert, excuse me, but in a sense, like, your life might depend on it, right? This stuff hits men hard. And, I'm going to be 44 this year, and I work with a lot of older men. I work with a lot of younger men. And, as I approach middle age, I can tell you something shifts, right? When we're in our 20s and 30s, it's like we come into the world and there's a certain amount of charge on our battery. We just have energy to do things. We can treat ourselves poorly, not sleep enough, not eat well, and we can still kind of have enough juice for life. Once you start hitting your 40s, that's not the case anymore, right? And all the ways we've dissociated or not taken care of our bodies, which includes our emotional experience, will start to show up in men's bodies. And whether that's tightness, anxiety, fatigue, autoimmune disorders, sicknesses, this stuff really starts to show up for men. And as men get older, one of the primary challenges many of the men I work with have is just having enough energy for life. And one of the key things here that I've discovered is, and why it's important for us men to do our emotional work, is every time we choose to avoid or not feel a feeling, it gets stored in our bodies. I mean, the actual evidence they have for these days is it gets stored in our fascia, which is, this tissue that kind of surrounds our muscle and connects it to the bone. And the way it gets stored is that fascia tightens up. So it actually tightens. And it takes energy to hold that tightness. And so the more we avoid our emotional experience, the more these things get held in our body, and the less energy and vitality and well-being we have as we get older. So if you're a man who's like, okay, how do I get started here? For one, whether it's therapy or coaching, men's work, breath work, plant medicines, I mean, there are more modalities available to us today than ever before. You got to start doing work to get into your body. And emotions are part of your body. Every emotion starts as an actual sensation in our body. It's a biochemical reaction. Yeah. So if we're disconnected from our bodies, we're often disconnected from our emotions. And so the willingness to turn towards our pain as men and say, oh my God, I'm full of grief or anger or fear, or there's that experience I had when I was young that I've been running away from my whole life. I mean, I've worked with guys who have shared things with me that they have never told anyone over 40 years, and they've been carrying it deep inside in a place of shame. And it completely transforms their life when they can bring it forward to me or to our men's group or trusted people and move from this place of shame to this place of dignity that I see so many men do. So I'm a pretty big proponent to kind of summarize here on, you got to get into your body. So you got to do embodiment work, got to do emotional healing and processing work with a coach or a therapist, and get involved in a community of some kind, whether it's a men's group or a peer support group or something.
That's really great. Yeah. So, I mean, looking ahead, what do you hope to see in terms of the evolution of men's mental and the emotional health support and the advocacy?
Yeah, I could probably summarize that in connection is the cure. You know, here we have this kind of myth of the lone wolf. You know, I got to be a man who does it all alone and survive alone and tough, rugged individual. And it's just a myth. You know, literally in nature, in a wolf pack, the wolf that's living alone is a wolf that was kicked out of the pack, and they will not live as long. They will die faster. And so the big shift here for men is, yeah, this realization that we need to connect. We need to be connected to ourselves, to our bodies, to our emotions, to others, to the planet. And that connection really is the cure for so many things. And so much of the world right now is working very hard to keep us disconnected and divided from each other, from the moment, by getting swallowed into technology and devices. So it's a pretty radical act to disrupt all that and say, you know what? No, I want to be defiant. I want to stay connected. I want to be connected to other men. I want to be connected to myself. And this, we have this oncoming tidal wave right now, I think, in a good way, of men's work and this realization that men need to take responsibility for their wounding, and they can show up more powerfully in the world with each other.
Yeah. Great. That's really lovely. So thanks, Jason, for joining us today. And dear listeners, like, we have delved deep into the realm of men's mental and the emotional health with Jason. And from his insightful perspective as a men's embodiment coach and the group facilitator, we have explored the power of brotherhood, vulnerability, and the balance in navigating the complexities of modern masculinity. So always remember that the journey towards holistic well-being is ongoing, and seeking support through the men's groups can be a transformative step. So we hope that the discussion has provided valuable insights and encouragement for all of you. So stay tuned for more enriching conversations on our podcast, Healthy Mind and Healthy Life, as we continue to explore the many facets of a healthy mind and a healthy life. So till then, thank you so much.